What do you think of when you see a sign like this on this slide? Go to our first slide. Woo-hoo. There we go. What do you see when you see a sign like this? The end is near. Some person walking down the street with a cardboard sign. You know, it kind of depends on your perspective. If you're an atheist and you just believe events happen as they occur, you might think this is the end is near. All right, next slide. You know, you think, well, one day it's just a random chance mathematical formula that an asteroid will crash into us. If you're an environmentalist, you believe this will happen down the line because of man-made climate change. Because of man, the oceans rise and we have no place to live. On the other hand, if you believe in UFOs, you think this will happen and the end is near. That aliens will come and conquer us. You know, Independence Day. That's a scene from Independence Day. One of my favorite movies. But it doesn't matter what your perspective is when the end is near. What you think about the end is near, when the end is near, is going to be really bad. It means the end of our existence. And it's bad news. It's always bad news. But for Christians, the end is near is good news, because that means our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will come back and take us home to heaven. But so for the Christian, the end is near is good news. And as we continue our study of the parables, let's look at Matthew 24:3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" The disciples wanted to know when this would all happen. When would you return? What is the end of the age? And Matthew chapter 24 is Jesus' response. So I encourage you to read that later on today. But today we're just going to study the parable in a few verses connected to the end of time. So let's look at Matthew 24, verse 32. "Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." And we've been studying the parables that Jesus taught. There's like 50 of them. And as we go in chronological order of when we think he taught them, they get more intense. Right now we're in a section of parables called the warning parables. Jesus is warning the disciples and listeners. He warns us that make sure we're good and faithful servants, that we're doing the Lord's work. He warns us to make sure we have accepted God's invitation to come to the wedding celebration of the bride and the lamb and the church. Today's parable is warning us that the end is near and you must be ready for the end. Now, in this passage, Jesus is talking about the future. And so the generation Jesus is talking about is a future generation. It might be our generation, maybe it's the next. This generation will experience these things. So this parable about the signs of the fig tree teaches several things. The first thing we see is that Jesus is going to return. One thing about biblical prophecy, if you ever read a book or listen to people talk about it, the one thing about biblical prophecy is there are a lot of opinions. A lot of people disagree on the sequence of events and when Jesus will return. When will this all happen? What will be the first sign? If you ask six scholars their opinion, you'll get six different opinions about the sequence of events. But there's one thing that everybody agrees to, every scholar agrees, is that Jesus Christ will return to this earth. It will happen because it's part of God's plan. Just like creation was a part of God's plan, just like the cross that Christ died on was a part of Christ's plan, so is the second coming of Jesus Christ is a part of God's plan. The first two, creation and the cross, have happened, so we can assume the third one will happen also. Now, the first time Jesus came, he came as the Lamb of God. He came humble and he submitted himself to the cross to die on the cross for our sins. But the second time Jesus returns, he will come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he will be leading an army from heaven to collect his followers. And we see that in Matthew 25:30. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds and from one end of the heavens to another. And so when Christ returns, it will be plain. It will be visible. The angels will gather the elect. It will be judgment day at that time. And so whether you believe in Jesus or not, Jesus Christ is coming back. That's a proof, a truth from Scripture. The second thing we see is that God keeps His promises. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. See, everything we see, every physical object, every tangible thing we touch today will fade away, but the Word of God will remain. See, there's one thing I love about being a Christian is that God keeps His promises. My life has been transformed by the promises of God. I've helped other people transform their lives by the promises of God. It works today just like it did in the past. Now that doesn't mean I don't have trials and troubles. I do, but God has taught me how to manage those trials and troubles instead of letting those trials and troubles manage me. Most of the counseling I do today is because people let their trials and troubles manage them instead of managing them the way God taught us. You know, God's Word has been verified by archaeology, by history, by ancient literature. God's Word has transformed lives in the past. It's still transformed lives today. And so that's why I believe in God's Word. That's why I believe in God's promises. And one of the greatest promises we see is the one Jesus gave in John 14:1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also will be where I am. Jesus is in heaven right now preparing a place for us. He says, I'm going to come back. I'm going to take you home so you'll be with me in heaven for all eternity. God wants you to spend eternity in heaven. And He loves us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins and rise from the dead to make this promise come true. So Jesus says, I will come back. You know, part of the signs that when you see that fig tree, the spring is coming, spring is here, summer's coming, the leaves bloom, the signs are near. The only reason God does not keep His promise is because we do not fulfill the premise. Every promise that is in Scripture has a premise that we must abide by. So if we trust in God, if we put our trust in God, Jesus will prepare a place for us in heaven. But if we do not put our trust in God, that's the premise. If we do not trust in God, then the promise will not be fulfilled. And if we go to our third point, we see that the signs are getting more intense. As the budding of a tree indicates that summer is coming. And here in Arizona, we don't see trees bud that much. We just feel the heat, right? It's getting 90. It's going to be 100 soon. We know summer is coming. It's just a matter of time. And Jesus gave us several signs that indicate when we see these signs, He is coming. His coming is near. So let's look at Matthew 24:4. And there's just like three signs in this passage. There's many, many more. But just a few. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, and the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." As we see these signs and as they intensify, it means Christ is coming back. And so the first sign is that many people will claim to be Christ. That I'm the Messiah. I'm Jesus. Or others will claim to be the final prophet from God. Others will claim that they have the final word from God. And we see that today. Let's look at this slide of two pictures of two books, the Book of Mormon and the Quran, which their prophet says are the final revelation of God. They say, well, you know, the Bible's good. The Bible's God's word. They agree that it is. But these are the final were the final prophet. And billions of people believe these words, and I personally believe have been deceived by these books to follow someone other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another sign is the increase in wars and conflict. We go to our next slide. The increase in wars and conflict. You know, after they fought World War I, they said that was the war to end all wars because it was so massive. It was a world war. It was so horrible. And then they fought World War II. And then even today, we have the rise of communist countries like Russia and China taking territory. Then we see Islamic groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda that want to spread their influence. You add that North Korea and Iran want nuclear missiles on top of nuclear-tipped missiles. And you can tell that conflict in this world is not shrinking, it's growing. It's getting bigger and bigger. And then another sign was that more earthquakes, a sign of earthquakes. And look at this next slide. I mean, just in the last 100 years, the U.S. Geological Survey Society says earthquakes are increasing, not just minor ones, but killer quakes, and they keep coming. And so we're familiar with the 2004 Indian Ocean earthquake that killed 280,000 people in China in 1976. They're not sure how many died, but as many as 700,000. And then another China one, the Haitian earthquake. All these earthquakes, they say, are just signs. And so if we look at Matthew 24:12, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. This is another major sign. If you were to ask people today, anybody, whether they're believers or not, is mankind getting better or worse? Are we becoming more moral or less moral? Well, everyone, I would say it's getting worse. You just watch the news, we are getting worse, not better. I mean, think about it. Today in the United States of America, we have legalized sinful behavior. You know, we have legalized stuff like abortion and stuff like that. Parents are overdosing over opioids because their lives are so easy, they have nothing better to do. I mean, it's so sad to watch these parents, you know, middle-class parents, overdose in their car while their kids are tied to their car seats. You know, greed and gluttony are out of control. And this is just another sign that wickedness is rising to the level of what I call the time of Noah. The time of Noah when the people were so wicked. And that verse says, the love of most grows cold. Love. You know, that thing that mothers share and teach us. The love of most have grown cold. The love that God wants to fill in our hearts has grown cold. Sin and selfishness rule our hearts. We don't care about anybody. We don't take responsibility for anything. We don't respect anyone. And these are just a few of the signs. And Jesus is telling us that in the Bible it says that when these signs get bigger and bigger and they intensify and they increase, it means Jesus Christ is coming. His coming is near. Jesus calls them birth pains. Now if all you mothers stood up, you all understand, most of you understand what birth pains are. When my wife went into labor with our first child, you know, the pains were like those Braxton Hicks and then you know, we thought, man, that's bad. Well, no, it gets worse. And the pains just get worse. And as soon as you go into labor, the pains become more intense. And that means the baby is coming. Nothing will stop it. Jesus is saying, when you see these signs, that means Jesus is coming. Nothing is going to stop His coming. Everything in human history is leading up to this point. The return of Jesus Christ and the end of life as we know it. And our fourth point says this, it will be sudden and unexpected. You know, when the baby comes, it's sudden and unexpected. Anyone who gives you a date, you know, a lot of people, so-called Christians, run around saying, well, Jesus is coming back on, you know, May 20th, 1915. You know, they give you dates, and that's crazy. Anyone who says that Jesus is coming back on a certain date is wrong. The theological term, if someone says that Jesus is coming back on a certain date, the theological term for that is baloney. Okay? That's just baloney. There's no such thing. Jesus didn't even know when He was coming back when He was on this earth. You don't believe Him. But let's look at Matthew 24:36. It will be sudden and unexpected. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, because the Son had taken on the form of man, but only the Father. Verse 37. as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, the people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be when the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. See, during the time of Noah, when the wickedness had reached its point that God had had enough and was going to send judgment, no one listened to Noah. Noah, why are you building a boat? There's no water. Noah, why are you doing this, building this gigantic boat for 8 people? No one listened. He would tell them that God is going to judge the world, change your life. And the reason why they didn't listen was because of the common interest of mankind. They were eating and drinking and marrying. They were living their life oblivious to God's plan. But see, once the end time starts, once the event happens, the events will unfold quickly. The people did not believe Noah, and so when it started to happen, when that first raindrop fell, it was too late. When they felt that first raindrop, when they saw the water was rising, not receding, it was too late. There was no time to build a boat. There was no time to find out what God wanted for their lives. There was no time to do anything because it will be sudden and unexpected. And are you so absorbed in your career, in your college, or in your school, in your work, in your family, that you don't think about God? You think God is just not going to do anything, or you don't believe in God? Well, the Bible is very clear that Christ is going to return. See, Jesus doesn't tell us when He is coming. Because if we found out that Jesus is coming next week, well, maybe we'll start cleaning up our lives. Maybe we'll start worshiping the Lord. Maybe we'll do what's right. God wants to test our faith. God wants to see if we are good and faithful servants. God wants to see if we will be faithful. Will you keep working for God's glory? Will you keep watching and seeing where He wants you to serve? Will you keep worshiping Him and wait with faith? Only the good and faithful servant will be ready. You think about it. Noah spent 120 years to build the ark. He was ready when the rain fell because he was a good and faithful servant. And so what does this mean for, excuse me, what does this mean for us? Number 5 says, live in anticipation of the coming of Christ. Now, when I was in Phoenix College, I went to Phoenix College for a couple of years. I took a English class, and it was a research paper class. And my professor was an atheist. The second thing he said out of his mouth when he introduced himself was, I was an atheist. And back then, for me, the college Christian, hey, that's like throwing down the gauntlet. But we got along great. We had great discussions. I enjoyed them. I really liked them. And it was a research paper class, and he asked us to write a paper proving something. And so I thought, well, I'm going to write a paper proving that Jesus Christ is returning to this world. And I said, this is what I want to do. He goes, okay, go ahead, do it. And so I took the biblical prophecies from the scripture, some of the verses we took today, and then I got newspaper articles and magazine articles that showed that earthquakes had intensified, that famines are worse now than ever in history. And I turned in my paper, and I was really curious what he would say. And he wrote on my paper, though I don't agree with your thesis, you did a great job proving it. And then he gave me a B+. So I was happy. See, I believe that Jesus is returning to this world, so I live in anticipation of His return. Verse 42, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had not known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house be broken into. So you must be also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. So we have to keep watching. We have to be ready. You know, people call us and they say, hey, we want to stop by your house in 30 minutes. What do? If you're like me, we grab everything that's in the bed, in the living room, on the floor, and throw it in one bedroom and lock the door. Because we know they're coming in 30 minutes, and we can do that in 30 minutes. We can throw everything in a room and lock the door so it looks like we live like this. Isn't that funny? If we know that Jesus is coming, we'll get ready. But God wants us to be ready all the time. Anticipation adds flavor to life. Anticipation gives us joy. When I go fishing, I go anticipating casting my line, feeling a fish biting it, and fighting it. It makes me want to go fishing. When I was dating my wife, I anticipated kissing her and hugging her. And it made me want that to happen. When you anticipate that Jesus Christ is coming, as a Christian, it means that we want to see Jesus face to face. We want to go with Him. We're ready to go now because we have been good and faithful servants. And if He hasn't come yet, we live in anticipation. Jesus wants us to keep watching. Jesus wants us to keep working. He wants us to have faith in Him. You know, after 120 years of building that ark, you imagine Noah working day after day and his sons and his daughter-in-laws and his wife. I imagine after 20 years and maybe they got the ribs of the thing built and one of his sons would say, "What are we doing? You know, why are we doing this? We're the only ones doing this, building this boat on dry land. What's the point?" Well, the point is that Noah believed God and he was credited with righteousness. Because he continued to work, he was saved. The good and faithful servant shares in the master's happiness. Now, I must warn you that the signs are there. We see the signs coming, but we must not be obsessed with the signs. Too many people take it too far. They try to find the sign that says what's going to happen next week or in a year. Christians waste too much time watching the sign. The sign just tells us that we must get ready. The signs tell us we must live in anticipation. Instead of just focusing on the signs, focus on the Savior. Focus on Jesus and what He wants you to do. Jesus says, keep watch and be ready. Now, does keep watch mean to watch out for temptation so you don't fall into sin? Yes. Does keep watch mean to watch for opportunities to serve God? Yes. We keep watch to protect ourselves and to serve the Lord. Right now, we live in the age called the age of grace. When Christ ascended to heaven, the age of grace started. 2,000 years, God has shown us grace that we can choose to trust in Christ, that we can choose to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the age of grace. But the next age is the age of the end times. And when the end times begin, everything will unfold quickly. So I ask you today, those of you here today, are you ready for Jesus? Are you ready today? If you're not ready today, guess what? If you're not ready today, you're probably not going to be ready tomorrow. And that's why Christ calls us to make a commitment to Him, to accept the gift of salvation and eternal life. You know, my prayer for all of you is that you will believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and that you'll be ready to meet Him face to face when that time comes. And I want you to live with me in heaven in that room next to me that Jesus prepares for you. Today is a day to settle the issue on whether you have trusted in Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, it's hard to imagine, to comprehend that You want us to spend eternity with You. That You have been unhappy ever since the Garden of Eden when we were kicked out of the garden because of sin. And in Your plan, after creation, You sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and rise from the dead so that we, by trusting in Him, can have eternal life, so that we can come home to You and once again see You face to face. Father, I pray that my brothers and sisters will live in anticipation of that moment, the moment when we see You and are ready to go with You. Father, I pray if there's someone here today who's not sure if they're a Christian or they're not sure where their life is headed, Father, I know life is important here on earth, but eternity so much greater, that touch the heart today that needs to make a decision for You. Touch the heart that needs to humble themselves and realize that they need You, our Savior. Father, we just want to worship You. We pray that You touch our heart now. What decision do we need to make? Move our hearts now that we may open it to You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you maybe ready to make a commitment to Christ and to trust Him as your Savior and Lord? Or maybe you need to recommit your life to Christ. Maybe you're ready to follow Him in water baptism and become more like Jesus. Whatever your decision, or if you have a prayer request, I'm going to be down here waiting for you. please come forward. I'd be happy to talk with you. Let's stand as we sing.